If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
As you had a grown man who sucker punched a middle-aged woman, and where I come from, at least, when you have a grown man who sucker punches a middle-aged woman, that person ought to go to jail for a very long time. And frankly, he's lucky there weren't some better people around, because they would have handled it themselves. But if they're not going to handle it, the cops in Cincinnati, the law enforcement, you've got to prosecute people. We've had way too much lawlessness on the streets of great American cities. We have got to make great American cities safe again for families and children. If you want to take your wife or your children out for a meal, you shouldn't be worried about street violence. And the only way to destroy that street violence is to take the thugs who engage in that violence and throw their ass in prison.
That is the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, coming out with some strong language against this stupid, brutal attack. You know what's crazy is that we're talking about this because it's on video. How many times do things like this happen that nobody's recording anything? And this is a very, very disgusting display. I'm assuming I'm saying this that you've seen the video.
Yeah, I've seen the video. And stuff like this happens even when people are doing it. And that's the first thing people do is they get their phones out and they film
it. I guess nowadays it is. And I don't know, is that a good thing? I mean, that's almost a separate discussion. Is it good that we have people that are standing there just recording these events? In one instance, yes, because then people find out about it. But at the same time, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're just standing there?
But the video that I watched, the people that were filming it were cheering it on. It was...
Yes, that's true.
It was not like, oh my gosh, are you seeing this? I think about this situation and all the things that you have to consider whenever you're in this situation, if you're going to jump in and help out, and that's if you're with your family or what your situation is as well.
Another good question. Do if you see an event like this, like Daniel Penny, for instance, if you see something happening, what do you do? Because I understand that we can sit here behind a mic and be real bold and be like, I'd get involved. But then if you're in that situation, are you actually getting involved? Let's get to our guest. It's Kendall Qualls. He's from the Project 21. He's a Project 21 ambassador. Kendall, thanks for calling today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this video and, well, really the object of the video, the brutal beatdown in Cincinnati. There's racial implications here. Where do you want to start?
Let's just start with this humanity standpoint.
Yeah.
So you see these people getting beat, and the laughing and heckling by the bystanders, it's just egregious. And I'm going to tell you, as a Black American, it's embarrassing and shameful. And I wrote an op-ed on this earlier. I said they dishonor our ancestors, and they just disrespect the sacrifices that were made for this generation to have a very different life than the previous generations, like my parents.
Is this something that gets discussed in the Black community? Like, I mean, obviously I'm not Black, but is this a topic that people are like, look, when I see a video like this, I get mad too?
Yeah, there is a large percentage of the Black Americans that remember when this didn't used to be the culture.
Yeah.
This used to be called out, but you guess what? We're censored by the mainstream media. The last thing they want to hear is from responsible Black Americans that love the country, have accountability, and have a different narrative than what they're pushing in the mainstream media.
Kendall, is this a symptom of a larger just sort of cultural rot? I mean, we'll take race out of it entirely. We're in a place now where, as we were just saying, you have multiple people standing around watching somebody helplessly get absolutely pummeled and just kicked in the face. And you go, oh, yeah, this is fun. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, what we've seen is not only have this, because you're right, it's not a racial context. They've had these beatdowns like this, black-on-black crime, assaults. So from a larger context, what I say and what I've written is that from a cultural standpoint, we've completely collapsed. After 60 years of following this progressive leaders and progressive agenda, where the families have been destroyed, the traditional two-parent family is a shadow of what used to be. When I was a kid, 80% of Black children were born in two-parent families, 80%. Today, 80% of them are born in fatherless homes.
Wow.
Not divorce homes, where there was never a father there to begin with. And so what we have is no one's being raised with values, manners, a consciousness. And in fact, what they are being raised with is you're more prone to physical, sexual abuse when you don't have a father in the home. So these kids are being raised in that kind of environment, and we're seeing it play out in our culture.
Well, Kendall, we know how we've gotten here, and that's through the stats you just said. The question is, where do we go from here? How do we climb back out of where we've gotten?
Yeah. So, look, we're leading this charge. I have an organization right out of Minneapolis. I support Project 21, but we have a partnership, and I lead a group called Take Charge. We're going across the country and reclaiming the cultural roots of the Black community of faith, family, and education. We don't need the politicians. We don't need one dime to start turning this around. We've walked away from our Christian roots, and we thought we'd follow the government promises of free, rent, free apartments, free, give away this monthly stipend. You don't need, as long as you're not married and there's no adult male in the home, you can get all these nice trinkets. Well, it led us astray to we completely destroyed the culture, and we're nothing like we were, our parents or grandparents were, when we had a functional culture, even though there was systemic racism, especially in the southern states. What we have today is a complete travesty.
Kendall Qualls is on the phone with us. He's a Project 21 ambassador. We were talking in the first hour of the show today about homelessness and some of the root causes of it, and that a lot of that kind of bleeds into crime as well. But we had an expert that called into the show and was just explaining, look, this is a big cultural issue, just like we're talking about here with crime and with fatherlessness and leading to crime. And she was saying that it really is a public-private partnership that needs to happen here. It's morals, it's the church, it's people, preaching reality of truth and right and wrong, but it's also that the government can't subsidize the wrong. And it sounds like you're saying that same thing about this issue.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Now, here's the travesty around this, and like I said, we're starting a movement within the Black community around this, and here's the travesty. The people that we thought were our friends, the NAACP, the National Urban League, the Congressional Black Caucus, these are the Black elected officials in Congress that they're all Democrats. This decline of the two-parent family that's happened over 60 years, there's not been one national attempt to reverse the trend. Not one. They don't want to reverse it. And they've been keeping people poor and ignorant for 60 years, so that for their own political power, greed, and positioning. And it's been horrific. I know, because I came out of it. I escaped it in my own lifetime. Unfortunately, my siblings did not. And there is a pathway that works, and there is a formula that works, and it's the traditional American culture, and even more so, if you happen to be a Christian, the formula works. Now, this is not a prosperity message. It is this message of accountability, responsibility, get a good education. Like, I got a public school education and some of the not-so-best of schools. But even back then in the 70s, I had enough public school education from inner-city Harlem and then rural Oklahoma to be competitive in the workforce. And later went on to get master's degrees and all that. But the most important part of it is our kids today are not even getting the education I received from Harlem and rural Oklahoma. They're not getting that. In our state, 68% of our kids can't read at grade level.
Gosh, wow, that's an incredible stat. And where do you go from there? I will ask you this final question for you, Kendall. Some of the things you see, and this is really from the top down, so it's not necessarily at the state level at this point, but from the federal government, big, beautiful bill, you know, some of these spending initiatives have sought to cut down some of these people who are freeloaders, who are taking advantage of the system. And really, it creates an enabled society to be able to do these kinds of things where they don't really care because all their needs are met. There's no requirement from them to change their behavior. Do you see maybe over the next couple of years some of that funding drying up and it changing the culture even from the top down?
Well here is the scenario that needs to happen, and we've done surveys nationally, and it coincides with this. But basically, the majority of Black Americans believe this, and we surveyed for 3 years in a row, that children do better off when there's a father in the home, when raised by two parents, and that the federal government should be incentivizing marriage instead of single parenthood. That's normative. That's what government should be doing. But they're doing the opposite. And that's where this whole dysfunction and everything else, we've seen 3 to 4 generations of this mess play out in our streets. And we don't have a systemic racism problem. We don't have a white privilege problem. We've got a problem where the government has been incentivizing the wrong behaviors, and we have a two-parent problem that's happening in our country. And most Black Americans, they want that fixed, but none of the leaders in any of those organizations I mentioned, NAACP and the others, are facilitating that encouragement of return to two-parent families, to marriage, marriage with young people, and also school choice, so these kids can get a decent education.
And yet, we're called the radicals.
Well, you know what? The mainstream media is complicit in this because they've been hiding this truth and perpetuating the lie. And thank God they're losing their influence. And there's other alternative forms of information sources for people to get to, just like your platform.
Yeah, exactly. Kendall Qualls, Project 21 Ambassador. Really appreciate your expertise and your time. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
It's good to talk about these bigger issues. You know, I mean, we talked about at the top of the show, there's heavy news happening all the time. Yeah. And then there's sort of the systems in place that bring about the daily news.
The constant drumbeats.
And I feel like today we've kind of been talking about the underlying issues a lot more than just the headlines. We'll continue to watch those headlines. I mean, one of those is that earthquake in Russia. I've not seen really anything develop that's breaking news on this, but the tsunami evacuation orders that, if you've been following closely, were issued last night in Hawaii, those have been lifted now. The threat to the west coast of the United States has eased. But like I said, we're going to continue to follow that to make sure nothing crazy breaks. And I think what we're going to do in the next segment is what I promised that we would eventually, and that is talk about the Russia collusion hoax, the possible criminal conspiracy to commit treason against the United States. It is nothing short of that we will be discussing next, and who it might bring down. Even if it's not Barack Obama, he may have been leading this whole thing. I mean, it looks like he was. But who will actually get caught up, and who are they going to interview? Who are they going to prosecute in this, even if it's not Obama? We'll give you the most likely names. Probably heard of some of them next. Brad, I'll just ask you this question straight out. How big is the Russia collusion hoax story that we're talking about pretty much every day, but it's not necessarily the headline every day.
Either. Well, if it is what Tulsi Gabbard said it is, DNI Gabbard, if it is what she said it is, where the sitting president of the United States forced intelligence reports to be changed so that he could then craft and spin a hit piece and launch investigations into the incoming administration of, what's the word they like to use all the time, duly elected president, cast a shadow over his president. It was Russia collusion. There's people in our chat still today that say he's a Russian asset because of that.
Yeah, it never went away.
It was a lie. Hey, none of it was true.
And I hate to tell you, it worked.
It worked. And that's like, so you look at this, you've got a president who does this to sabotage the other party. That's big. That could be the biggest scandal in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's tough to say whether it's the big. I've heard people say this is the big. Trump will, of course, say it. This is the biggest scandal in American history. It's possible that it is.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of hyperbole. Trump is always saying it's the biggest ever. It's the worst ever.
Does.
It's whatever. It's what he does. But when you compare this to other scandals, I mean, compare it to Watergate. That's not within my lifetime, but within a lot of people's lifetime that we know and are listening. It's bigger than Watergate,
for sure,
because this is an ongoing lie that they all colluded on and then agreed, yeah, we're all going to say the same things. And then they lied for years and years and years. What it is a framing. They have framed the president of the United States for crimes. And they continue to say, yes, that's what we... They won't admit,
right.
but all of that stuff we said, all true, even though it's obviously not.
It's not just that. In doing what they did, you had the head of the CIA, the head of the FBI, I forget what Clapper was.
Yeah.
You know, all of these guys. You had all of these people, the heads of...
He was the DNI.
DNI. You had all of these huge, important figures ahead of these important government agencies that we're supposed to have trust in. We're supposed to trust the CIA to be able to do the investigation things and the clandestine things in the world to keep us safe. And now we can't trust them anymore.
Yeah, it's a huge loss.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Of, you know, public goodwill.
And for what?
Of anything. Well, to frame your enemy. I mean, it was to bring him down.
It was all politics. At the end of the day, it was all politics.
And that's why people, some legal scholars say, yes, the presidential immunity thing will apply to Obama. But the problem is if you're in a conspiracy to commit treason, that's not a political act. That is a campaign act. And what he did to Trump had nothing to do with the actual presidency. I think that'll be tough to prove.
It's a tough proof.
But a lot of the names you just mentioned. So this is from Jonathan Turley, who, again, Brad is on it. I think, trying
really hard. If he's listening, please.
Jonathan. You know what's crazy? Just a side point here. It amazes me, as the co-host of this show, how often people come on the show as guests and they go, oh, yeah, big fan. We listen, you know, and this is Washington and New York.
Yeah.
You're like, how do you know about us?
Yeah. Annie will say, I bet they say that to all the girls.
Maybe they do.
Maybe.
Except that we hear behind the scenes that that's not necessarily true, that they actually do. I don't know. It's cool. Yeah. Every time it happens, I'm like, hey, all right. And Annie's like, oh, you know,
Ryan, like, shut up.
And I'm like, no, Annie, you should acknowledge that. It's cool, man. But Jonathan Turley is a guest that called Brad Russia, that he is trying to get on to talk about Russia. And he wrote this article about the likely targets of this criminal prosecution that's been referred to the DOJ. And they are the names that you already know, but there's going to be a lot of names probably that you don't that'll be caught up in this net too. But the big ones are, as you said, James Comey. He's the former FBI director. And here's why these people are going to end up getting caught. Because they didn't just say these things, and we have a little paper trail here, which they absolutely do have. We've seen that now. But they also would then go under oath in some instances, and definitely on TV, and make statements publicly and under oath that were contrary to their private statements.
Yes.
And that means that they have themselves testifying against themselves in all these cases.
Yeah, when you lie under oath, they have a fancy word for that, and it's called perjury.
Yes, they do. James Comey, former FBI director, would use this contrived intelligence to greenlight the investigations that overwhelmed the first Trump term. The FBI was aware early that the Steele dossier was an unreliable political hit job funded by Clinton. So they knew that their political ally funded research, took it knowingly that it was bad, used it anyway to frame their political opponent. Moreover, the CIA told the FBI that Trump associate Carter Page was a U.S. intelligence asset, not a Russian spy. The FBI, it's so weird, all these random names that you're like, oh yeah. The FBI ignored such countervailing intelligence, violated protocols, and lied to a federal court. Here's where it gets dicey, because here's where they can actually trap them. They lied to a federal court to maintain the Russian investigation. They have the paper trail on these things now. So James Comey is likely going down for this. Andrew McCabe, former acting FBI director, now a CNN contributor.
Shocker.
Was fired after career Justice Department officials found that the former acting FBI director not only lied to investigators, but deserved to be fired. That recommendation was reportedly embraced by career officials in the Inspector General's office. He was accused of lying four times, including, again, I'm like, asterisk this part right here, including twice under oath. Let me flip backward here because the charges kind of go up from here. James Clapper, former director of national intelligence. He recently has been doing the news rounds because he's like, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm friendly. I'm a nice guy, right?
But he's also like, I've already lawyered up.
Yes, he has. James Clapper, former DNI under Obama, this would be Tulsi Gabbard's role now, is expecting the worst and said that he has lawyered up. Exactly what you just said. Clapper was in the briefing in July 2016 when Obama was told that Clinton was planning to create a Russian conspiracy narrative. This is not like deep web stuff.
Right.
This is coming from Fox News. It's coming from Jonathan Turley. These people know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is breaking through in a big way, and it's going to continue to. Guys, pay attention to this story. It's going to be huge. That's why we're talking about it. But in November 2016, Clapper received an assessment from the intelligence community that Russia was, quote, probably not trying to influence the election by using cyber means. He also received talking points from staff on December 7th, 2016, that said, quote, foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential outcome. And of course, we all know what happened after that. They said, you know what we're going to do is say the exact opposite of that publicly, and we're going to use our office, the authority behind it, to give it credence. That's disgusting. Last but not least, John Brennan. This guy is like Limburger cheese, man. Former CIA director. Brennan is arguably the most at risk in the new disclosures, which appear to contradict his prior testimony before Congress. On May 23rd, 2017, Brennan testified that the infamous Steele dossier wasn't part of the corpus of intelligence information that we had. Pause right there.
Mm-hmm.
The other people in this case were openly saying that it was. Then he comes out under oath to Congress, I think under oath he was testifying, and says, no, that wasn't even something we used. That's provably false. It was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done. However, the new material shows that Brennan was the key figure insisting on the inclusion of the Steele dossier in an intelligence assessment, suggesting that the Russians did influence the election of in favor of Trump and using that as a core document. It is like cut and dry with John Brennan. If this guy doesn't go down, ain't nobody ever going down. Now, whether that all ends up entrapping Barack Obama, that's the big question. I will say this, while that's intriguing to me, I'm not as concerned with perp walking Obama.
No.
It's not to me about optics. This really is about justice for this case and any future attempt to do this kind of crap.
There has to be some sort of teeth to these laws so that other people don't do it. Because if there is no prosecution, if they walk, if they did this and they get away scot-free, then the next time they're going to do it again, and the other side will do it again, and then it'll just be a perpetual cycle of both political parties, which is third world banana republic stuff. And I'm this is one of the things, back even whenever Trump was on trial and they raided Mar-a-Lago and all this other stuff, there's some speculation out there, I don't know if you've heard this
or not. I have.
The reason they raided Mar-a-Lago is because they wanted the documents that Tulsi just released.
Yep.
They were trying to get those
and
back.
They didn't get them.
So anyway, back to my original point. I'm mad that this is what the left is doing to our country for no other reason other than we want to stay in power and we want to stay in control. And a group or an organization or a person that wants to stay in power that badly doesn't need to be anywhere near that power.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a huge, huge case, and it's not going away. I think we asked a YouTube live chat poll about this last week at some point when this was like the headline, probably last Wednesday, week ago, because Tulsi gave her press briefing that day. Do you think anybody will be held accountable for this? Because the crime itself is clear now. The mainstream media is very, they're trying to talk about it in terms that don't really matter. Bringing up, well, later Congress determined, I hate this argument because it's so easy to poke holes in, but nobody will ever do it. Later, Congress determined that there was Russian collusion in the election. And even Marco Rubio signed off on that. And they'll bring that up. Well, guess what? That was based on this faulty intelligence. Yeah. That's the point, is that they even misled Congress.
Right. And back to my original point, these are supposed to be institutions that people can trust to make wise decisions for the safety and security of the United States.
Congress trusted these people to give them good information. So they looked at the bad information and said, oh, this is what you came up with. Well, then we see where you're leading with this. We'll agree with it because we think you're trustworthy. They clearly were not trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And so all those statements from people who were like, well, I think there is Russia collusion. Lindsey Graham, you said in 2017 you thought there was. It was based on this bad information. That's the point.
Yes.
So I don't get how you could be such a bad, stupid journalist that you wouldn't get. I mean, I guess I do. That you wouldn't get that that's the point of the case, is that they misled they misled everybody.
Yes.
Will anybody actually be held accountable? I think in the poll, you guys said no. Some people were saying yes, but it's because we've seen this play out several times where something happens, everybody gets in an uproar about it, and then nothing really happens. I personally believe that is about to change. They wouldn't have gone public in the way that they did with this, with Tulsi coming out doing several interviews, like really every day last week. Mm-hmm. She was on a different network talking about this, even in some unfriendly territory. I don't think that they would roll out their media on it without knowing what the plan was.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I just think that even they know that everybody's tired of no accountability for crimes and that they know that they're going to do something different this time. That's my opinion. Today's YouTube live chat poll, a little bit different, is homelessness getting worse in your town? We have discussed this primarily in the first hour. We took calls. If you missed that, I would really encourage you to get the podcast. It's a really good discussion. A lot of people calling in, talking about their town. People chiming in online, even right now with the YouTube live chat poll, is homelessness getting worse in your town? We're talking about solutions even to that problem. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Ethan, add yourself to the camera and then also remind us what the Wiggins America topic was today. Clear your throat first and then do it.
I'm adding myself to the camera because you said to do that first. I'm opening.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for following this to the letter of the law. Great. It's making great radio.
I feel like you've done that to Annie, though.
Oh, absolutely. I do it all the time.
What do you mean? This is what you are to Annie.
You know what? When Annie's here, and by the way, we haven't said this hour, we probably should. Annie is just not here because she has like dust for a voice.
She's sick.
She just goes to speak and it just goes,
sick
nothing
of
there.
You.
There's nothing there. Is she even sick? I think she just doesn't have a voice.
I just want to say she's sick of you.
It's one of the unique things about being in radio is if your voice doesn't work, you can feel 100% outside of that and you
doesn't
can't
matter.
Go on air if you sound awful.
Doesn't matter. So we're hoping she's back tomorrow. I have no delusions that she won't be, but I don't know for sure. So hopefully she will be. What was the Wiggins America topic again, please?
So we began with my 2 minutes of Wiggins America today, Ethan's America.
This is a strong one.
We began discussing the most unhealthy item on different fast food menus.
Okay. Based on that, I will tell you a little story, and I need you to weigh in and tell me right and wrong here.
Okay.
Today, on my way in, you know, Annie called this morning. She said last night, my voice is getting a little gravelly, so just be aware, you know. But she was still planning on being here. And then this morning, it was like, okay, it's gone. So then we find out, we go, okay, go into show mode, right? So I did a lot of show prep at home and, you know, was just researching things that I've already presented to you in a lot of the show. And was coming in a little bit later than usual because I was staying at home longer than usual doing show prep. So I thought, oh, on my way in, what I'll do is I'll grab lunch, which was still breakfast at the time because it was before 10:30, at McDonald's on my way in so that I don't have to grab anything once I get here and it take even more time away.
Sure.
So I stop at the McDonald's on the way in.
On Tucker?
On Tucker. Okay. I'm already kind of running late. I mean, I'm trying to get here by 10:30 or so that we can cut audio and do all the stuff that we got to do before
sure.
the show, especially when it's last minute like that. So I order two chicken McGriddles. And I'm using the app, and I'm getting a good deal and all this
chicken
stuff.
McGriddles?
Chicken McGriddles.
I didn't know they had those.
I didn't know that was a thing either.
I'll tell you why I get them. They're a little bit cheaper than the sausage. And they basically taste the same because a McGriddle's a McGriddle. So I ordered two of them because I got to buy one, get one for a dollar. And I get to the window, and it took a long time. I don't know why. Usually that McDonald's, it takes a long time to order, but then once you order, they move you through pretty quick. This time, I ordered quick, and then I just kind of waited. It took like 10 minutes or so, which at McDonald's feels like a long time.
And you were at the window, or you were just in line still?
I was in line for a lot
okay,
of that.
Got it.
I don't think they were doing anything wrong. It was just
moving slow.
Moving slow.
Okay.
And I'm not even calling them out for that. I'm just saying it was delaying me further from getting here, which I was like, come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my meal, and I start to drive away. I get almost onto the road, and I pick up my bag, and I'm like, that feels heavier than two chicken McGriddles. So I get kind of onto the side road, pulling out onto Tucker, and I reach my hand in. I feel like, oh, that's a sandwich. There's two sandwiches in there. Uh-oh, wait a minute. There's also two burritos or something in here. So then I'm like, oh, did they just give me too much? If so, no big deal. They don't care. It's going to take too long. But I open it up. It's not even my order at all. It's completely somebody else's order. It's a bacon, cheese, sausage, biscuit with something else and two burritos or snack wraps.
This story is off to it took a turn in a good direction so far.
Oh, it's benefited me.
Okay.
I didn't get what I wanted, which was McGriddles, but I still got more food than I was anticipating.
So you got the wrong order?
I got somebody else's order.
So you got two burritos and two of these bacon cheese sausage biscuits.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Which I'm not opposed to.
Bang for your buck.
I'm not against the bacon cheese sandwich, but that's not what I ordered. So now I'm in a situation, mm-hmm. and here's what I'm presenting to you guys. What do you do now? You need to get to work, although you're not. It's not like noon. You know, I could turn back if I had to, but I really needed to get here to really, you know, get the ball rolling. Do you turn back around and go through the drive-thru and tell them what happened? Do you turn back around and go inside and tell them what happened? Or do you just leave?
This is a very good question. And there are several different ways mm-hmm. that I believe that one could go about this.
Because instead of speaking about it in theoretical terms.
Because of the context of that, you were already kind of pushing it, trying to get to work as quick as possible. If it's something on the menu that you have in your bag and you're saying, I'm not going to eat this. If it is something you don't like.
I actually don't really care for the burritos or the snack wraps that much. So those are off the table for me. Two sandwiches is enough to get me through the day. That's my lunch and right through the show. I'm not going to eat. You know, that's what I'm eating.
If you feel as though the wrong item that is in there is something that you are going to be able to still like, maybe it wasn't what you were expecting, or if the value of the bag is more than what you ordered, I feel like you should be good to go. No need to turn back around and go back through that line. You add the other pieces of the context, right, that it would have probably taken another 10 minutes to go back through. Who knows if you go back inside how long it takes. You have to get out of your car. You have to park. You have to do all those things. You did not go back. Is that correct? Or you?
I haven't told you what I've done
yet. Okay.
I will.
So we don't know.
A lot of people weighing in right now on YouTube. You can too if you want. Robert says just leave. They would just throw the items away. Katie says the same, that they can't take the food back anyway. That crossed my mind.
That is accurate.
So you come from the fast food world.
Yeah, we can't take the food back. So generally, if we hand you out the wrong order and you open it up in the window and you say, ugh, this isn't my order, we're like, rats, that's our bad. You can keep that. Let us
what
make
your
order.
What if you never left the window?
That you could still
same.
Same thing?
Once it's in, like,
lift your hand.
Let me ask you this. Would you want food that was put in somebody else's car and they opened it up and dug into the bag?
Well, no, but if you're in the window and you can see that you just handed it to them and they went, oh, wait, they look in it and they go, oh, and they just hand it back.
Doesn't matter, because the person in the car behind you whose order it is can't see that, doesn't know that. So you got to remake their order anyway.
Yeah, but what are you losing? Are you even losing a dollar per piece?
You're out something, but the reason you're out it is because it was your mistake as the establishment that handed the wrong food
out. But you're not out much.
So usually, in my experience, when my order's been wrong, and whenever I worked in drive-thru, you're not out enough for it to matter. They say either, no, I don't want it, and then you have to take it back and throw it away, or you give them the option of keeping it. But the other side of that is, you still have to get their order correct.
So you could have gone back and gotten more food and not even had to give it back.
So you're saying that the best move would be walk back inside, go, hey, I ordered two McGriddles. You gave me four items that were not McGriddles. Give me my McGriddles. And then I get to keep
maybe
all of
in a
it?
More polite way. But yes, if you aren't in a crunch to get to work and feeling like it would be, you'd be better off just getting to work.
I can tell you that's not what I did.
That
because
doesn't surprise
it was,
me.
It was much more about the time for me.
Wait, you're telling me you didn't go back as a year?
I did not go back. I did not go back. I just took it and I said, those are two sandwiches I can eat. But the problem, I didn't think about the fact that they can't take the food back.
Let's say this,
because I thought if I went back quickly, they could just reverse it. Everybody's cool. But I was like, gosh, I didn't even know if I have time for that.
If you would have gotten your least favorite thing on the menu, probably a salad, you probably...
Especially a breakfast salad.
God.
You know what that looks
you
like.
You probably would have gone back because you're like, I'm not going to eat this.
Yeah, probably.
The things that you got, you felt good enough to eat. That's, I think, the game.
Yeah,
what is
well,
the difference
the
in this
The fact
case?
Is that the restaurant can't take the food back. I didn't even think about that because I thought I could maybe remedy this situation pretty quickly if I turned around, ran up to the drive-thru window, and was like, hey, this isn't mine. This is this guy's.
And you look like a crazy man.
I do, but there's plenty of those people.
Yeah, you fit in perfectly.
Already. Maybe I should have given this away to a homeless person. Now I got two snack wraps sitting in there that are probably just going to end up in the trash.
You jerk.
Is that what you would have done? Conclusion.
Of course.
You would have just driven away? So I did the right thing.
No, I probably would have. If it would have been something I'm looking at like, this isn't what I wanted. I really had my mind set on this and I wouldn't have had the time restraint. I probably would have turned back around or gone inside.
Ethan is doing something very interesting. Do you have any better answer for this?
What, you drove away? Did you contact them and let them know, hey, I got the wrong order?
No, I didn't say anything.
You know what you should do?
So in their brain, you got the right order?
Yeah, well, the next person was probably affected too, though.
Yeah, they kind of, this is what I ordered, and they had to make the order that you gave them, which is what they would have had to do if you'd have said something anyway.
So it didn't affect anything?
Not really. I don't think this is a moral conundrum because, like, a lot of people don't check their order before they leave the window.
I didn't.
You know, so they got it, they drive away, and then they get to wherever they're going, or they check it as they're driving away. They find out it's wrong. Phone calls get made. Hey, we'll comp your next meal, that sort of thing. I mean, at the end of the day, the mistake was on the establishment that made it, and the food is going to get thrown away. I mean, maybe you should say something like, hey, I got the wrong order, and give them the option, but outside of that, I don't think anything you did was wrong.
I hate to tell you, but what you're saying is that I could do that at any time. I could go back in the restaurant and just say, hey, you didn't give me my right order.
You basically took the words out of my mouth.
Ooh.
Yep, I'll tell you what happens, too, whenever somebody does that on repeat. They get the line, just doesn't seem like we can meet your requirements. Maybe you should try the other establishment down the road.
But you got a couple of get-out-of-jail-free cards, right, before that happens?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
That would be immoral.
That would be immoral. Speaking of which, Ethan is here. And
thank you for, yep,
you're
I
welcome.
Am here.
That was a great segment, must say. The next one's going to be even better because Ethan is trying to do something out in the bullpen. I know that if you're watching, you've never really seen the bullpen or maybe some pictures we've taken of us doing stuff out there. But Ethan, for the majority of the show, sits just outside the studio and does some editing. He's cutting sound. He's doing podcast stuff. He's doing stuff for both us and the Reardon Show. Mm-hmm. So he's a maniac out there. And he's trying to make his surroundings better. And there are some controversial things that he's doing to office space that's shared that I think we need to address, speaking of moral conundrums. We'll be right back. Love that we're talking about fast food, and we were just talking about the President of the United States getting convicted of treason, possibly, right before that. So, you know,
but not the fast food president.
Pretty hard. No, not the fast food president, the other one. Pretty hard turn there, and the chat is suggesting that maybe we should have stayed on the original topic. the chat is really, really discussing that topic, and I appreciate that. I'm glad. That's why we're talking about it. But this segment is also not that. We're talking about office etiquette at this point.
Ooh.
Because I feel like Ethan is breaking that etiquette a bit. He has put up a basketball hoop out in the bullpen. Now, he's not the only one that sits in the bullpen. And the problem is, it looks cool. It looks like we're a fun place to work, which we're not. And he's tricking people. But also, he has put it in a way, and here's why I'm really offended. He has put the hoop in a place, and we have a couple of inflatable balls out there for some reason. I don't know why. I think they're Y98. And so he's put it in a place where nobody can make a basket.
It's too high.
Even him.
No, it's too high because Brian can't reach it.
No, that's not true. If you walk past this thing, the only way to make a basket is if you grab a ball and dunk on it because the ceiling next to it hangs so low that it is a worthless piece of accoutrement to the office.
How can I describe what the ceiling looks like in the bullpen? Part of it is ceiling tile.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is an area where it's a much higher ceiling because there's LED strip lights, and then there's drywall next to that. So it's really weird looking. It's like short, high ceiling, short, in a very...
It's a drop ceiling.
Okay, really, you couldn't have said that a little bit earlier.
No, it was fun watching you try to describe it.
I hung up the basketball hoop on the tile ceiling.
The drop ceiling.
Drop ceiling. Thank you, Brad.
Brad's nailing
it. I hung it up there to where it's kind of just dangling off at an angle.
Yeah, it's dangling.
You watched me do this morning because I was like, this needs to have a place. We've had this nice basketball hoop just sitting here in the bullpen unable to use it.
Yeah, it's just been sitting there.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. And I hung it up on the drop ceiling. And the problem is that no one can access it. From
it's a worthless endeavor. Completely
no
worthless
one.
Endeavor.
Not even me from where I'd normally
no,
sit.
No, that's why
I tried it this morning and I failed dramatically.
That's what I said when you put it up. I'm like, sit down and make a basket. And you're like, oh yeah, fine. Like, not even close.
Even close.
There's no angle at which you could even make a shot there. So the reason I bring this up is because it immediately reminded. Now, I've worked in several media environments. I've worked in some just plain old corporate environments, too, when I was a lot younger. Mm-hmm. And the corporate ones, man, like, you walk into a cubicle farm, and I don't even know if maybe they don't do this anymore, because this was, like, early 2000s when I was out of college. I worked in an office setting for half a year to a year, and it was just cubes the whole building.
Oh, boy.
The whole building was cubes.
Was that a fun place to work?
No.
More or less fun than here?
And let me tell you what, I was at the bottom of the totem pole too, and all I did was take HR's documents and file them alphabetically all day, 40 hours a week, because I needed a job.
Ryan, that sounds... no wonder you are the way you are
but
today.
That's man stuff right there.
He's offsetting... Well, you know what he's doing? He's offsetting...
He's doing what he needs to do to feed his family.
He's offsetting the amount of time...
Right. I didn't have any kids or wife at the time, but I did need to eat.
He is offsetting the amount of pain and restriction that put on him, his character, himself, and that is why he is the way he is now.
How long did you last at that job?
8 months.
Well, I mean,
and then I got a job at a golf course.
A little overdue and not having to offset
it. It was terrible, but I'll tell you what, what's weird is I felt like at the time, this is really off subject here, but I felt like at the time that I was supposed to work there. Like I was praying a lot. And going, God, get me out of here. I hate this. And there was no other option. I had to just have a job. And so I did it. The craziest thing is, because I worked that job, the wife of one of the random executives who worked in one of the non-cube offices, she saw that I was like reliable enough to come in and do filing. And she's like, what do you like doing? Because it's such a boring job. No matter who you are, everybody looks on that job with pity. And so she's like, what do you like doing? I'm like, well, I like writing. I like comedy. At the time, I'm like, I don't know. I like making stuff, whatever. And she's like, well, would you like to work in TV? I was like, yeah. She goes, oh, my husband knows somebody, and he's working in an office. He wasn't even at the job at TV. He was doing construction on a TV station in town that at the time was UPN 46. She goes, you want me to get you in with the CEO there? And I'm like, the heck I do. Yes, I want to do that tomorrow. And so she did. She got me in a meeting with the head of this television company from working at that job. And I got an internship that turned into a job. And then I've been in media ever since.
And here you are now.
Isn't that wild?
Hosting the Manny Fry Show.
Because of that stupid job that I hated, I got into media. I mean, random, very random. So anyway, I've worked in a lot of really different environments. And in media, they always kind of try to make it cool. Like you walk in and the lobby's got a little putting green. And it's just stuff that you're like, why? But okay, it's because this is the brand is, hey, it's cool. Have you ever worked in an environment that had that kind of stuff?
This would be the most laid back environment that I feel like I have worked in. But this is my first full-time job. You know, I'm
right.
Only a couple years
That's
out
why
of
I'm
college.
Asking.
So, it's here in the Cardinals. Those have been my two main gigs since
cool.
I came out of college. So, no, not really.
Every corporate office I've ever seen, and we're technically one of those. I mean, we have a different mm-hmm. setup here, but we have a corporate setup, you know, up front anyway.
Sure.
Every one I've ever seen, and we don't actually try to do this here. Everybody here is just, half of the people here are creatives, so it just kind of naturally happens, like with you putting up the hoop. Every place I've ever gone that has tried to make the facade of the corporation cool, nobody has ever used any of it. Ever. Like, oh, in the lobby and in the break room, we got a shuffleboard and stuff. Literally, I have never, ever seen anybody use any of that stuff.
Well, I'm going to prove you wrong, and I'm going to throw a ball at this hoop at least.
You know what?
Once a week.
Listen, we're in an office environment. Why don't you just do the responsible thing and submit a ticket to have somebody hang that up somewhere?
Do you think that Kyle and our team would look at that ticket and say, oh, yeah, we'll hang that up for you?
I don't know what they would do, but you don't know until you submit the ticket.
I think that would get me fired. Like they'd say, this is what you're focused on?
I do,
Bye.
Too. I think it would get you fired.
And that's why you want me to submit the ticket.
I think you should do it. I really would like to see, just as a social experiment, what what would happen if you taxed our overburdened engineers with
work like 14 hours a day.
Can you hang up a basketball hoop next to my desk? Something that you're clearly capable of doing that you're like, you know what, though? You can do it really well. I would like to see that. Please do that and report back. Now it's an assignment. It's on the air, so it's real.
Maybe if Annie asked me to do it, I would, but I don't know if...
I'm going to message Annie.
Yeah, like she usually listens to you.
The YouTube live chat poll today, we talked about it a lot in the first hour. We're still asking you the question, is homelessness getting worse in your town? It's a simple yes or no, but obviously a big topic. We took your calls, encourage you to get the podcast and listen to what everybody had to say, because there was a lot of really good angles on that topic. Nobody really has the solution, but the Trump executive order that he signed a couple days ago that deals with this topic is very, very important. I think you may see some changes coming to this. It's not something you'll notice overnight, but I do think that there will be some progress on the issue of homelessness in the next few years. We're going to take a short break. We got 1 hour left. Trisha is actually going to grace us with her presence when we come back. We're doing a segment called Serious Questions. If you've never listened to Wiggins America, you'll hear that for the first time on the Annie Fry Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.